Nacho.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man. 1100 AM.
That right? That
and
right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and Coach.
What up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the king, fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, K9 know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it no more.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And it's the SRT crew in the building. What up, Atlanta? Thanks for tuning in to the hottest sports show on radio. And I am your humble host, Mr. HO from Bankhead. For all of y'all, Facebook Live. And all your listeners, we have an in-studio guest tonight, and he is, boy, he's just a legend. I mean, that's all I got to say. But we're going to get to him in a short minute, but I do want to let you know that SRT is all over social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at
SRT Radio.
And if you want to call in, get something off your chest, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. And if this is your first time listening, shame on you. But we do appreciate it. And if this is your first time listening, you don't even know who we are. And let me start off with the diamond of the crew, T-Boyd.
The jewel of sports is in the building.
Bling!
What's up, crew?
What's up, Jewel?
Hey, Bo.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Welcome Goodness to the show.
Thank you.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Hey, ATL.
There you go.
You know, let's talk some sports. I'm ready.
You ready?
Let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about today.
Absolutely. And, of course, my main man from Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, the number one Dallas Cowboy fan in the world.
Hold on. Oh, you was talking to me?
Why are you looking around like?
No, I was thinking about y'all want to make these reservations to Reeves Island.
Oh, okay.
Because they selling property.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I need to get a piece of that. It's going for cheap.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and come as you please.
It's going for cheap.
The sports superhero, Mr. Hancock. What up, man?
What's up, big homie? What's up, crew?
What up, man?
Hey, baby, we got to take a knee to the D, baby.
Man, they tearing it up.
Rise.
What's happening, D? Bo Bach is in the building.
How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Good to see you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate
Glad
it.
Glad to have you in here, man. Riding with us on our posse. You riding with the SRT posse, baby.
All right, Phil Jackson.
Hey, welcome. You know what? I forgot. I do a commentary every night. You know, write it and put it on. Send it out by email on Constant Contact. I get about 10,000 people that get it. So I need people who want to hear stuff like we're going to talk about tonight and talk about that you're not getting anywhere in town because all that they do on Sports Talk Radio is read the back of baseball cards.
Exactly.
Nothing deeper than that.
We're going to be talking this stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? And if you want to get a copy, send me your email address to Bobach. @gmail.com.
There you go.
BEAUBOCK @gmail.com.
There you go. And ladies and gentlemen, if you you just heard the voice, the legendary voice, sports talk guru, I'm allowed to give you compliments like that.
I thought for a minute that you're talking about Frank Sinatra.
That's
a legendary voice.
Hey, listen, the dean of sports is in the building. Bo Bach, man. What's up, Bo?
How you doing, guys?
It is.
Hey, Bo.
Good.
You doing all right?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for coming in. Listen,
man. Yeah, thanks for asking.
A lot of people don't know. When I was a young lad, I used to listen to Bo Bach all the time.
Thank you.
Back down there when he was in the window down in the Omni.
Yeah, that's right.
You got some memories.
Listen.
It is.
And to be honest with you,
right,
you have been inspiration to all of us who wanted to talk sports.
Oh, man. Thank you.
No doubt.
I appreciate that.
Wanted to talk sports.
Thank you for what you've done.
Thank you. Appreciate
exactly. So, Bo Bach is in the building. We got a lot to talk about. And we can't forget our man behind the glass. What up, G-Money?
G-Money?
That's G-Money?
That's G-Money.
That's G-Money.
Yo.
Y'all want some G-Money?
Damn, Gina.
Exactly.
That's G-Money.
Hey, D-Will get suspended for dress code?
Suspended for dress code?
Actually.
Yeah, he did. And then he was arguing with the assistant coach.
Exactly.
so he can't play today.
He had to sit out of the show because of dress code.
He got to sit out. He ain't wearing tie last week.
Shout out to D-Will, man. Happy birthday, Harold.
Happy birthday, Harold.
D-Will has a paid vacation. Well, a vacation.
A vacation
to spend his birthday with his wife. Much honor and love and respect for that. So we're going to miss D-Will tonight. But, again, the dean is in the building. And before we get started with the show, I got to give a shout-out real quick. Gwinnett College, the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Shout-out to my nieces. I'm just going to claim them as nieces.
There you go.
Nicole and Tiffany Rodriguez were named NAIA Honorable Mention All-Americans. Oh, one is a senior
and
one is a sophomore.
Wow.
And they up in Gwinnett College.
Congratulations.
Tearing it up in the soccer world.
There you go.
So I want to make sure that I give them a congratulation before we start the show.
That works.
Tiffany and Nicole Rodriguez doing their thing up in Gwinnett. And, you know, a lot of people didn't even know we had a soccer team in Gwinnett.
You just
schooled a lot of people on that.
NAIA, and I want to definitely give their parents, Henry and Antoinette Rodriguez, listen, proud parents, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Very, very proud parents. So, and Henry went to school with me at Northside, so when he sent me the article, I had to pay homage to that.
All right, then.
But on the show tonight, we got that Hot 5. Of course, we got them sports updates coming all the way around. And we're going to talk about college football playoffs. For sure.
For sure.
We got the FanDuel report, water cooler report, and I got my main man, DW, calling in from the Falconholic.
Hey!
He will be calling in.
So we definitely got to talk to him.
Definitely got to talk to him. And, of course, roundtable discussion. And we got some email bad questions that's going to, you know, spice it up a little bit, talking about the Hawks and their failure so far. Oof. Yes, because they have been failing. But
This show is only 3 weeks too old. You know what I mean? We should talk about 3 weeks ago. We had a contender.
I agree.
Exactly.
I definitely agree. And with that being said, let's jump into the Hot 5 at 8.
It's time for the SRT Hot 5, the hottest 5 stories of the week.
Hot 5 at 8, sponsored by Smart Shield Security. If you need cameras or security for your home, please contact our friends at Smart Shield Security. Monitoring plan starts at $14.95 a month. Give them a call, 404-590-3996. Or you can visit the website, smartshieldsecurity.com, for rebates and coupons and all those specials. Question number one, we talked about this 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The Jewel,
yes,
UConn is visiting Notre Dame tonight. They are actually playing number one versus number two. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the new women's college basketball rivalry now?
Yes, this is the new women's college basketball rivalry now because since 2010, UConn has lost only 12 games, and 7 of those losses have come to Notre Dame.
Whoa.
So, yes, and the other 5 are from people from the rest of the country, so, and not even somebody twice. So, yeah, Notre Dame, yeah, this is the new rivalry. And especially the fact that right now both of the teams are undefeated. UConn is 7-0, Notre Dame is 8-0. For the past few weeks, Notre Dame has held the number one spot. Now, all of a sudden, UConn has it. And UConn has an 82-game win streak on the line. And Notre Dame would love nothing more than to break it. For the past 3 times Notre Dame has played UConn in the tournament, UConn has knocked them out. So they really definitely feel like it's a rivalry in itself. But, I mean, UConn, they feeling some type of way right now, and I kind of think they're going to get that game tonight.
I think they
Notre Dame got a little history on their side, though. Bo, you remember back when UCLA had that long win streak?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day on the men's side. That's right. So they got a history of breaking streaks.
Yeah, he did a heck of a job at Notre Dame, but what a pain in the neck he is.
I would love to see Notre Dame break that streak. I mean,
well,
I would love to see
I was listening to Doris Burke was doing one of the games last night. It was an NBA game. And she's like Tiffany. She really knows what she's talking about. And, you know, everybody likes her. And she was saying, I hope Notre Dame wins because it's good for the sport.
It is.
When you think about people just barely tuning in, you know, to women's basketball, if you hear Connecticut wins again, you say, I'm not missing anything.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, all of a sudden, Notre Dame upset. You know, UConn or whatever, you know.
Then you got something going.
Then you got
and
something
it's
going.
Gonna bring viewers to the next game.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, we'll give you a sports update when the update comes up. But question number two.
Big HO. With Villanova back at the top spot in college basketball and with so many great games the first part of the season, what kind of March Madness are you expecting?
I'm expecting March Madness to be a show for the NBA. Because we have so many good teams, so many great freshmen out there. And we named a lot of them last week.
Yeah, we did.
You can expect UCLA. And now you're getting the traditional schools will be back in the final in March Madness.
Blue Bloods.
The Blue Bloods will be back in March Madness doing what they do. So you can expect UCLA, Kansas, Duke, Indiana, North Carolina, and Kentucky. Expect the March Madness probably to break records this year.
Yeah, all right, you named them. Those are the ones. And it's going to be – it's better at this point than it has maybe in 4 or 5 years.
Exactly.
I mean, right now. But I'll tell you what, Villanova is not the number one team in the country.
I agree with that.
They just don't have enough oom-pa-pa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oom-pa-pa.
They need Horace in the paint. You know what I mean? Otherwise, they don't have a – they're light in the dumper.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, question number three, Hancock.
Yes, sir.
Thus far, the NBA, it's been a lot of playing. Your MVP thus far, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
I'm going to go with three dubs. How about that? Because he's a triple-double waiting to happen. You got to go with Russell Westbrook right now over Harden, I believe. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very impressed with what Harden is doing with D'Antoni. I didn't see this coming.
Right.
For him to have them relevant at 14-7.
And I mean, he's keeping that assist tally
job.
Up.
Exactly. He's playing well. But Russell plays on both ends. And, you know, James Harden has never been mistaken for a defensive player. Let's just say
it. I got a question for you, Ham.
He just doesn't play.
My question for you is, Ham. Do you think that he can keep this up the entire 82 games, going to the playoffs,
and
really average that triple-double the entire way through and then win?
I think he's going to do it, but I don't think it's going to be effective enough for them to push them to a point
that's
where they're really a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even struggle down stretch. That's a lot to ask
it is.
From your point guard.
It is.
To get you a triple-double every night. He's averaging well into the numbers. It's not like he's barely getting his 10 here or whatever. He has triple doubles by the third quarter now.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
But I think that's going to take its toll on him.
Right.
As far as the third guy we're talking about, Anthony Davis, he has resurrected his career, if you want to call it a resurrection.
Right.
I just think last year, a lot of injuries, a lot of expectations.
But can he stay
changing
healthy
coach.
This season?
Well, I mean, that's always a problem with him.
Exactly.
I don't think he'll be the MVP this year, but he's established himself back. To let people know. I mean, we're talking about a guy that a couple of years ago, people were talking about, this is the guy you start your franchise with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing why this year.
Oh, yeah.
Is he,
he's balling.
Is he, definitely the comeback player of the year?
Without a doubt, I believe right now, far and away.
I hope he stays out.
You know, our guy was a great guy to start a franchise with. Unfortunately, it was Orlando.
Yeah.
Since then, his game and his heart and his Valentine has gone out for
his
a coffee
Valentine.
And bagel.
I stole that from Bo a long time ago.
it went out for a coffee and bagel and has not come back.
All right, question number four, Bo. Are we giving Dan Quinn a pass with some of the aggressive decision that he's made over the last few games?
Yes, we are. You know why? Because we give everybody a pass in this town, and that's why we don't win.
Yeah.
That we have no sports media in this town. We don't have a newspaper. We've got one newspaper who's in bed with every team in town. They also happen to own the dominant radio and TV stations, so the whole market is covered by that anti-sports malaise that they don't know what the heck they're talking about. They don't realize that what they don't know is how dense they are, and we just can't get the word out. There's just not. You can go in the tank in this town. Nobody cares. You got four or five guys on TV every night sitting there in suits and cosmetic smiles giving you scores. By that time, I got 22 scores already. I got scores all day long. All right, Ron Gant's giving me scores in the morning. I don't need you giving me scores at 6 o'clock. Tell me what's going on.
What's going on? Exactly. I agree, bro.
It's the worst sports media town in America. So Dan Quinn does get a pass, but he should not. What are we doing in Arthur's 15th season, 14th season, when he hired him, hiring a guy who's had no head coaching experience before? It's like the University of Georgia. Why are you hiring Kirby Smart?
Thank you, Bo.
We thought we were getting like a little Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
Yeah. We got a little Ray Goff.
It didn't even get a Zaxby's.
It didn't even get a Zaxby's. He got paper salad.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, Boba. Boogie, baby. All right, question number five. Tiger Woods came back, played this week. Hancock, what's your thoughts on...
I'm so happy to see him back on the course, man. My thing was I just wanted to see the health. See him finish the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. Now, he faded a little down the stretch. Day two was vintage Tiger.
Right.
Then he went like 7-under, got it to 8-under for the tournament at that time. Stumbled a little bit in the third, but you still saw flashes. That last round, maybe a little fatigue, getting acclimated to being on tour again, those things.
I think just being out there
exactly.
And playing, four competitive rounds, he just doesn't have the stamina for it. But the sport needs Tiger.
Yes.
Every time you look up and you pass by a golf tournament on TV and someone's watching you say, Where's Tiger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree, Bo.
Absolutely. I mean, he stirs the drink.
Yeah.
And I really love the way the guy is developing emotionally. You know, the biggest deterrent to Tiger's game and also the biggest advocate for Tiger's game was probably Tiger's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tiger's dad passed away, that's when all the nonsense happened.
Exactly.
That's when he just went off. And who's not to, who can, everyone, that can happen to everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. When his father had his hand on him the entire
It was like his rudder. It was like his rudder.
He had him on Johnny Carson at 4 or 6 or something,
Exactly.
And every single thing. Now, all of a sudden, he's a free man and went a little nutty.
Yeah.
Yep.
But look at the way he's developed individually since then, and emotionally and just from a personality point of view. He talks to everybody. He answers questions with a smile. I mean, he's happy with where he's at. And, I'm one of the few people, because everyone, he's done. He's going to make another run.
I hope
so. He's going to make another run, and I'd love to see him catch that pompous jack.
All right, Tim, what you got on Mr. Woods there?
I'm with Bo. The sport needs him. And prime example of that, the ratings were up Saturday alone on the channel 92% from last year, and Sunday they were up 52% from last year.
Wow.
So, and with him saying that Tiger has the possibility to make another run, he actually led everybody in birdies on the course. So he had like 5 overall. Mm-hmm. But he did also lead in bogeys.
Those were the things that kept Tiger back in the day. It wasn't about, him making birdies. That was always there.
But right.
The saves were the thing.
Didn't matter where he hit.
Yeah, he would
didn't
always.
Didn't matter where he
right.
hit.
He didn't make bogeys.
Right.
Or he made clutch putts to keep the momentum.
His putting game looks good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, but he didn't look good out in that bunker. And
It's going to take a minute.
I saw that. And I said, when I first saw it, I said, this is Tiger.
Yeah.
That's where you're supposed to be.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
But, yep. All right, and that's it for our Hot 5 at 8. Again, sponsored by Smart Seal Security. If you want security or cameras for your home, please contact our friends at 404-590-3996 or visit the website, smartsealsecurity.com. And I forgot to get a question of the day. So Facebook Live, or in all of the listeners, the question of the day, what is the issue with the Hawks? So, you know, let us know on Facebook Live.
Water sinks to his left.
Tell us, what's the issue with the Hawks?
Yeah.
Listen, we don't have to be on until 10 o'clock to solve that.
Call us.
That right quick.
Yeah, call us 404-603-8770. Call us, get some off your chest, and tell us, answer the question of the day. If you just want to shoot us a email, text, or whatever, you can do that too. But right now, of course, we got to hurry up and get to this sports update because this game is getting hot, baby. We're going to go to a sports update and come back, and we're going to jump right all off into the roundtable discussion.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your sports update with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. Let me give you some quick updates of some games that are in progress right now. The UConn-Notre Dame women's college basketball game. UConn is winning 48-43 and is 13 seconds left in the third quarter. In some NBA basketball, Detroit and Charlotte are playing, and Detroit is winning 48-45, and there's 8 minutes left in the third quarter. It's halftime in Boston, and they are playing Orlando, and Orlando is winning 50-49. Denver and Brooklyn are playing, and Brooklyn is winning 50-30, and it is 6 minutes and 45 seconds left in the second quarter. We have Miami and Atlanta playing, and it's 5 minutes and 47 seconds left in the second quarter, and Atlanta is winning 47-32, so they're not doing too bad tonight.
Whoa!
Portland and Milwaukee are playing the first quarter. It's in the middle of that. Portland is winning 17-14. The Lakers and Houston are playing. It's the middle of that first quarter. Houston is winning 21-11, and Cleveland and New York are playing. It's the middle of that first quarter, and Cleveland is winning 22-13. NBA news for you. Shout out to Klay Thompson, man. Monday night, he became the first player in shot clock era to score 60 points in less than 30 minutes. He had 52 touches and basically only took between 11 and 15 dribbles. Compared to Kobe's 60, Kobe had 94 touches when he scored 60 points. The Detroit Pistons, they currently play at the Palace of Auburn Hills, which is located in Auburn Hills, Michigan. In the beginning of next season, they will move to downtown Detroit. They will move into Little Caesars Arena and share that venue with the Detroit Red Wings. That relocation will put all four of the city's major sports teams within a few blocks of each other, and because the Tigers play at Comerica Park and the Lions at Ford Field. Magic Johnson is returning to ESPN's NBA Countdown after a three-year absence. He will make his debut Christmas Day, then join Michael Wilbon and Sage Steele on the weekly show beginning January 21st. He previously worked on an NBA studio as an NBA studio analyst for ESPN between 2008 and 2013. And that's a wrap on your sports update with the Jewel of Sports. Catch us every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on WWE AM 1100.
Bill Simmons probably was the cause of Magic leaving because, you know, they had a little spat.
Bill Simmons. Yeah. Come on. Why would you even give the guy airtime?
I know.
Why would you put the guy's name on the radio?
Exactly.
Why, have you lost your mind?
Well, that was the lead in to, they didn't renew his show on.
Right.
HBO.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now, didn't they just cancel his show on, or they didn't renew it on ESPN? He went to HBO?
Yeah.
And they didn't renew it at the second place.
Exactly.
So that was kind of a
good
meeting.
But what right did he have to get on the air?
I have no idea. I don't know what made him relevant, you know, to have two shows.
I know, really.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right, we're going to a quick commercial, then we come back. We go jump right into that college football. Four is in. Do you agree? Should somebody be out? Should Penn State be in? We'll talk about all that and more. SRT Sports Roundtable with the Dean of Sports in the building. We'll be right back.
Take a knee.
Are you thinking about changing the station? Well, don't, because Sports Roundtable will be right back.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-506-6912, 800-506-6912, 800-506-6912. That's 800-506-6912.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Welcome back. Have a seat at the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100.
SRT Roundtable Discussion. Sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you need a pre-owned, used, or a new car, please contact our friends at Jay's Used Cars at 770-496-0339. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. And if you mention SRT or Sports Roundtable, you will get 10% off your discount on your down payment.
And heated seats.
And heated seats, exactly.
Heated seats.
Shot clock. Hey, I wanted to say something about Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Something that he doesn't even know about his game. He's the Olympic long jump record holder and doesn't even know it. Have you ever seen a physical specimen like that? I mean, the first time I saw Russell Westbrook, it was phenomenal. I've never seen the guy go to the basket with such ferocity. I've never seen a guy leave, you know, you used to talk about, you know, Michael and, you know, all these guys who would leave, you know, the foul line. You know,
right.
Russell leaves at the top of the circle, it seems like. You know what I mean? I mean, he is the perfect athlete.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes 100 miles an hour all the time.
And when he does the pull-up jumper, it's remarkable because he's going so fast.
And then straight
and
up.
And then go straight up.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like a Harrier jet.
Right.
Just go straight up in that.
Can't teach that.
Nah, right. I mean, that's... Right. That's it.
No, that's, you know, and that's why when we were talking about his stamina and longevity and, you know, ability, if anyone can take it, he can.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
All right, four is in. Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Washington. Bo, did they get it right?
No. No. Yeah. Penn State's supposed to be in there. And I, you know, I wouldn't have said that 6 weeks ago.
Me neither, bro.
But, you know, Penn State is trending. Penn State is a physical football team. Penn State, you know, is showing everything that you want to see in a playoff team. Washington can't play that type of game.
No.
I always harken back to Oregon when they were getting hot with that little go behind your back and get your job Kelly. They were phenomenally fast, you know, and quick and just lickety-split quick and just changing the game. But you forget, that's against, you know, that Pac-12 talent.
Right.
Everything's relative. All of a sudden, Auburn goes out there. Guess what? Auburn's bigger and faster, and they killed them. And that's the way I see Washington right now. I love the coach. I love Peterson. I love what he's done. I love watching that team, but not against a team like that.
Yeah,
not against the.
I agree, Bo. I think the when you have a team that's playing in the conference that was supposedly the best conference in college football this
right,
year,
right.
And they don't get to go to the championship after they win it. And
how about beating Ohio State
exactly.
and then winning the conference?
Exactly.
And Ohio State goes.
And yeah. Ohio State goes. But see, to be the playoff committee painted themselves in the corner by putting Ohio State at number two in yeah. last week.
Right.
Because what they did then was say they are untouchable.
Yeah.
You can't
right.
get them out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and
right.
they, I mean, on one hand, you tell yeah. me conference championship doesn't mean anything, but if Ohio State was better than Clemson last week, why did Clemson jump them once they won their conference?
Yeah, doesn't
exactly. It doesn't
either.
Make sense. Yeah.
Because Clemson's not trending.
Exactly. So
you take me 4, 5, 6 games into the season, Clemson's in. And Clemson, let's say they deserve to be there. What I'm saying is when you've got teams who are trending and teams that maybe are physically and
imposing,
just yeah. like you, they should be in.
Yep.
You know, it's the way you finish,
right.
really.
Right.
I'm with that.
In 2006, Urban Meyer was quoted as saying, if you do not win your conference championship, you should not be in the
playoff.
Did
he really? Oh, I'm going to use that
tonight. He quoted that.
Yeah.
So, Tiffany, did they get it right, even adding to what Urban had already said in 2006?
No, I'm with the guys with them not getting it right. But then if you look at another aspect of it and at the four teams' records who are in there, they have the best records aside from Western Michigan. So in that aspect, yes, they did get it right. But going with what the guys are saying, in all actuality, I mean, Penn State should be in there. But if you're just going off of based on looking at their records, they got the records based on
you
the
see,
records.
Well,
that's
you know, I got a problem with is them saying that Ohio State, hands down, was the better football team.
I
how do you say that
right,
they're
I don't
better
know. I don't know.
When you're basing it on?
But I believe in the eye test.
I do, too.
I really do.
But,
and my eye test now is telling me Penn State, not Ohio State.
And they beat them.
Yeah.
And they beat them on the field.
And they beat them and then won the conference.
But exactly. their head coach is Urban Meyer.
And,
so
and you might be right about that.
That's not going to bring money to the finals, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, true enough, see, people don't remember Penn State being a blue blood, but they were.
Yeah.
For years, Penn State was a blue blood. But with all the scandal and everything
sure, yeah,
that went
right,
on,
right.
they kind of have been kind of pushed to that back
part.
And
what?
I think that's.
You know what? They're still paying the price.
They're still paying the price.
I didn't even think of that. It didn't occur to me. They're still paying
they're
the
still
price.
Paying.
So they are being punished.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
For.
Hey,
switch it up.
Hey,
Ohio
you know
State.
What?
Switch those two.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
tell me that if that was Ohio State winning the Pac-10 with two losses
mm-hmm.
and Ohio State, Ohio State was there. Let's just switch it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were in other folks in the
yeah.
other role.
Oh,
Ohio
yeah.
State would get it.
Of course.
Yeah.
They would be in.
Of course.
Would be,
yeah, you're
of course.
Right.
That's why I said it's got to be because the coach is Urban Meyer for Penn State.
Yeah, hey guys, you know, think about this. It's a committee.
Yeah.
Right? Now, on the committee, it's a guy by the name of Dan Radakovich. Dan Radakovich knows less about. No, I'm talking about competitive. This is the guy, the athletic director of Georgia Tech, when
right.
he was.
Right.
Who ruined Georgia Tech athletics.
Right.
Right now, Georgia Tech is hanging on by a thread to their legacy, to what they could be. You know, and we're playing this lower division type of football.
Exactly.
And Radakovich brings that guy in arbitrarily, because he decided this is the way we
want
to go. You give that to the military academies because they're handicapped. You do not give that to Georgia Tech.
Exactly.
Where on Grant Field, the Four Horsemen first rode in 1922, where Bobby Dodd won national championship, where all the great players that we've come to know, and when they won the national championship in 1957, Morris Brown was a better team.
Oh, wow.
And no one knows that.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is, I didn't mean to go in that direction, but what I'm saying is Georgia Tech has got a legacy
right.
that they have an obligation to live up to. You just can't have one guy come in and say, this is what I'm deciding. It's ridiculous. You know what the next best job is in this country? Georgia State. I'm telling you.
Really?
Trent Miles, good coach.
Right.
Was recruiting Michigan. You recruit the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You recruit the neighborhood and you contend. second thing you do is you schedule Georgia and Georgia Tech immediately. And when they won't play you, you make a big deal about it. You're going to be playing in a stadium with 100,000 cars deadlocked, standing in front of your stadium every single day. You know, and it's going to jump out at you, right? And you can get everybody in Georgia State. All you have to do, now, Georgia State is offering fish heads and rice for a guy to come in, and which is stupid because they got 52,000 students. They've got a million alumni. And if you're going to do it, do it. They don't realize. In fact, I'm trying to set up an appointment with the president of the university just to try to explain to him because he's left it all in the hands of the athletic director. Now, the athletic director is from App State. See, no, I'm not disparaging him, but what are you going to learn at App State?
Right.
You don't learn to go. You don't ever think to go for it at App State.
No. Sure.
You think to be competitive as hell when right. you're when your division, when you comp, you know, when you play good football. Georgia State is sitting on it.
Right. Yeah. But right? Do you think they'll be able, because this is just back where I'm from Memphis, and I remember when Arkansas State was trying to come up against Arkansas.
Right.
Frank Broyles kept his thumb on
right,
Arkansas State.
Sure. Wouldn't let,
do you think Georgia would be able to hold them back in that same vein? Would they be able to hold Georgia?
Sure.
See, that's
sure.
what I'd be wondering,
let
too.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you the method behind my madness. There's a guy who could take that program right now, beat both those teams in a year, and take them to national prominence. Right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Ask me who.
Who?
I was waiting on you to tell me. Who was that, Bo?
Jerry Glanville.
The man.
Hey.
The man in black.
Let me tell you something. Nobody knows about Jerry Glanville. Jerry Glanville's the finest football coach we've ever had in this town.
Really?
Oh, I agree.
Second is Norm Van Brock.
I agree.
Other than that, we haven't had any coaches in this town. Jerry Glanville took the worst team in the league, had been coached by Marion Campbell
right.
3 years. Mm-hmm. Couldn't win anything.
Talking about the Falcon, folks.
Yeah, didn't practice hard. Same as Smitty's. You know. Mm-hmm. By the way, the media's been locked out of Falcon practices because of me telling everybody we don't practice hard. I mean, that's Rich McKay.
That's funny.
That's Rich McKay, that little. So, but Glanville took that team from Marion Campbell.
Okay.
First year, won 6 or 7 games, but was in every game right down to the end. Second year, went to the second round of the playoffs, beat New Orleans in the Dome, in New Orleans Dome, in the Superdome. To go to the second round of the playoffs,
yeah.
Went to Washington. That's when it was pouring rain and Washington watered the field because we were a speed team.
Yeah, speed team,
right?
Yeah.
That's what Glanville did in 1 year. While the general manager, Ken Herrick, was working against him, was trying to get him out. June Jones was going behind his back. Jerry Glanville can coach his phenobolies off.
Wow.
Wow. Well, speaking of coaching.
And recruit.
Yeah. Speaking of coaching and recruiting, we have some moves that has been made over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Willie Taggart just took the Oregon job.
5-year deal, $3.2 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question, does Oregon still have that cachet that they used to have?
The only thing I'm worried about with Oregon is that USC coming out probation.
Sure.
Washington becoming a power.
Yeah, when we were talking about who should be in. I mean, if you had a hair.
They were good. They turned up.
Cal,
they
you
sure
talk
did.
About a team
exactly.
coming
sure
on
did.
And a team that will hurt you.
Yeah.
No
ask
doubt.
Washington. They beat Washington.
Yeah.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Ask Washington.
But I mean, Taggart, to me, going out there, I heard he had some ties, I think, to Stanford. I think he coached out there for a while. But, you know, I think with Oregon, maybe that window may have closed or may not. We'll see because – what they had was the uniforms, the flashiness. And now you see everybody in America.
The cards on the sideline.
Everybody's doing it now.
Right.
Everybody has a wide open offense. Yeah. Everybody, even Bama went spread.
Right, right.
So,
right.
But the only thing is with Oregon, it's the only school owned by Nike.
That's true. That is true. And that
point.
Is a heck of a selling point because of the facilities. And
I don't think so much time has gone by. I really don't. I mean, you know, think about what we're talking about, Tech, with this guy, Bit of Beer Face, Coach Bit of Beer Face.
But that's he gonna be able to. He's got to use. He can't use them. He's got to go on an airplane and go get kids because he in Oregon is limited as far as the people,
right.
as kids.
That's right. Yeah. But don't forget, California.
Yeah.
California, Texas, Georgia, Florida.
Yeah.
That's
a hotbed.
And
I agree.
So many in California. You know, that's why I don't think Oregon's lost its appeal. If I'm in Cal, I want to play at Oregon. I mean, I love that type of ball, you know?
Is he a big enough name to draw the kids?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, Tiger was doing good at South Florida, is he that?
He's not a big enough name. I think he has to be there for a year and kind of show what he has, what he can do before kids are going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they're not going to look right away.
Yeah,
right.
He's got to be a loud leader. He's got to draw attention to that in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
He's got to, you know, do every interview and every radio station, everything. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just sell Oregon.
Exactly. He's got to get, like, he got to be loud like Jim Harbaugh was being loud when he got the issue.
And you can rekindle it much easier than he could starting from new, like we're talking about Georgia State.
Yeah.
If he beats a USC or UCLA, he will garner some attention.
Oh,
or
for
Stanford.
Sure.
Or Stanford.
Oh, Stanford. Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Or Stanford.
But what I couldn't understand about Oregon is the last 2 years, where are the quarterbacks? I mean, you're going to Division II, and go get quarterbacks back-to-back years.
They've been terrible. You
can't tell me you couldn't, with Mariota being there and kind of setting the groundwork and being that flamboyant, fast one.
It looked
like when he left, there should have been somebody saying, if I'm an athletic quarterback, that's where I want to play.
Yeah.
So why don't you go get
But when he left, Kelly left.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
saying.
So
that was the appeal that took away the appeal from people really wanting to go to Oregon because it was Chip Kelly, his offense. Like, he was the appeal for people wanting to go to Oregon. He was recruiting Oregon.
But they were still running up scores after he left, though. If you look at their records,
yeah, but
they
that
were
was
still
the residue.
Winning.
But those
it
left
was still
over.
Yeah, right. And then after that was done, they were getting crushed.
Right. In terms of quarterback, I mean, everybody close your eyes, especially if you're driving. And think about that Oregon coach, Selfridge, Helfrich.
Yeah.
I don't want to play for him.
No.
He looks stupid.
Yeah. I'm with you. I wouldn't want to play for him.
No
either.
Energy. No.
None.
No. And in fact, I'm surprised Phil Knight at Nike let him last that long.
I agree.
I'm trying to figure this out. They said that Chip Kelly don't even like recruiting. How was he getting players?
I mean,
you know
what?
He looks like the type of guy because he's arrogant.
Yeah.
Know it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
smarter.
So I can imagine, you know, he doesn't want to go in and talk to parents and talk to parents and all that stuff.
Right.
So get everybody in, and then he's like, the prince when they bring the recruits around.
But and then you're looking at a culture shock and a change. If you go out and you get kids out of Florida to go to Oregon, it's like. This ain't, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's a culture shock.
Exactly. Yeah. You look at that temperature change and everything else, man. I mean.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're in Oregon, I mean, if you're a Florida athlete, I don't want to go to Oregon.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you got everything. Yeah, but California is the equal of Florida. As far as talent.
Yeah, but it's still sunny. It's sunny California. Southern California is different.
Well, yeah, you're true.
Absolutely.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just.
You got to wear those fur jocks.
Tom Herman goes to Texas. He was a grad assistant at Texas 98, 99, and got the job.
Right. Yeah.
And now he's the head man. This is my question. Me and Han talk about this all the time, Bo. Are you a head coach or are you just a OC or a DC?
Oh, yeah.
Is Tom Herman actually a head coach?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But you know what? You guys are just echoing what I say. Every assistant coach out there in a big program knows how to X and O.
Right.
Right? Everybody's got a design. And the other thing is, I don't care what you run. If everybody's on the same page, it's going to work.
It's going to work. Right.
That's what's called coaching. But the number one priority in hiring a guy is not what you know football-wise. It's leadership.
Right.
Who can motivate? Who can bring together? Who can get everybody on the same page? Who can sell what it is you have designed to sell? Leadership is the most... Look at Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby couldn't lead a camel to water.
Man, seriously.
I mean, come on.
Seriously.
Look at this guy down the block. Paul Johnson. Who's going to follow him?
Nobody.
And that's the point we're making, man. Kirby didn't bring Nick Saban with him, so it was going to always be a problem. Yep. And looking at where he's coming, looking at your man, Tom Herman, coming from Houston. Houston and Texas are night and day. Because Texas, he's got a fan base there.
Right.
That's going to be looking over his shoulder, trying to see what are you doing, whatever.
Right.
From the time he's already announced he's
there. He's going
to be heavily
scrutinized.
It's going to be scrutiny from Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know why that guy from Temple, Matt Rhule, is going to be successful at Baylor? Because up there he was successful at Temple. And he's playing, he's recruiting guys with not any great football integrity background.
No expectations.
Experience. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's recruiting those guys and making them into winners and beating programs he's not supposed to.
Right.
When he wants to get a kid at
Baylor.
Temple. Oh, at Temple, all he can offer the kid is a scholarship. At Baylor, he can offer the kid or his father whatever they want. Yeah. You know, and the same thing at Texas. The same thing at Houston.
Right.
Except at Texas, you're getting a little bit, you've got more attention from the five stars than you would at Houston.
Exactly.
And he was on Twitter being quoted as, "I came here to win championships." And he said that's what he's going to do.
I think the cupboard, he got some pieces in the cupboard already.
Right.
Charlie Strong did a good job recruiting.
Well, I'm talking about the Baylor coach.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Herman at Texas.
No,
okay.
You're
talking about Rhule.
Rhule said that he came to Baylor to win championships.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's legit, I think. And I think Herman is still. I mean, he did a hell of a job down there.
The one good thing I think Rhule has, and even Herman, is that they're following people that weren't successful.
Right.
It's kind of tough. Like I was saying, with Jimbo in Florida State, he followed Bobby, but he was already there. So the bridge wasn't as hard to cross.
Right.
But when you come in and you replace people like Mac Brown, who was revered and loved in that area, it's hard. You need some kind of fallout big.
Right.
So you want to be the guy that followed the guy.
I know Charlie Strong pretty well. Good guy. Great guy. Can coach like crazy. But, Charlie's not good at cocktail parties.
Wasn't the right fit.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Charlie's not good giving a dinner speech.
Right.
All right? That's Texas football. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's Mac Brown's bailiwick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Rhule has got to do that. And to me, on the Temple sideline, he looks like Joe Bag of Donuts.
Yeah, he does.
So I don't know how he's going to do it, but.
Yeah. Tiffany, so what you think about Herman going to Texas? We're not going to even talk about how he got there. I think it was his dream job anyway. He was
an
OC at Rice. Mm-hmm. He was at Texas State. I mean, he'd been in Texas his whole life pretty much.
Yeah. Who has?
Tom Herman, So, I mean, your thoughts on Mr. Herman and how he would actually do at Texas within the first couple of years.
I actually think he'll do well at Texas. With him being from there and everything, and with him being where he is right now in his coaching style and the type of coach that he is, I think he'll do well because that program is kind of going to recruit itself. And he's going to get the 4- and 5-star guys just because of who he is and the type of program that Texas has. So, yeah, I definitely think that he's going to be successful within the first few years for sure.
And he has to do that. Sorry, Bo.
Yeah.
He has to get out there and those high school coaches in Texas that he kind of messed over a couple of kids at Houston with, like that 5-star recruit who went to Houston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, now he went to Houston saying, okay, you're going to be here. This guy could go anywhere in the country.
Right.
And so you kind of burn bridges. You don't want to alienate those high school coaches in that area.
No, I know.
So he has to make sure that he has a good bridge to those schools.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we'll see. I don't know.
He'll find a way.
Yeah, he has to find
out.
And work that way in there.
Of
he has to.
And he'll straighten himself.
And money will help, too.
Well, of course.
That's what I was just picturing him going in his left front pocket. All right? And he'll work things out with that kid and his family and the coach, too.
Yeah.
That's what you can do in Texas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got an email.
And by the way, Tiffany.
Yes.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I'll be hanging out here in Atlanta.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You get all your shopping and all that stuff done?
I do it online, so.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you want a newfangled lady.
I am.
What did you get me? You don't even know my sizes.
Well, see, I just met you today, so I'm really going to find out tonight, and I got you.
I got an email bad question. I guess, Bo, you can take this one because this is right up your alley. Will Mark Richt win the ACC title before Georgia win the SEC title?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on now. Let me preface this by saying you did go to UM.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I played at UM.
And you played at UM?
Yeah.
So.
Right. No.
I got you.
You know, I mean, he's going to win anything because Georgia's not in the football business right now. They think they are.
Right.
But how dense are we? I mean, over there. I mean, you know, seriously, Greg McGarrity is the AD.
Right.
All right, I'm sitting here, I'm Greg McGarrity. You're Kirby. And I'm looking at you. I'm saying, this guy's got no leadership ability. This guy's got no light on up there. How does he get the job? And you know what? I'm starting to believe, you know, in sports, in our town, everything that's important in our town. It's all based on cronyism. It's all based on who you know. It's all based on a donation coming to the athletic department if you hire Kirby.
Speak!
Absolutely.
Otherwise, how do you account for
that? How do you account for it, yeah.
Absolutely.
He doesn't. Bo, did he look, did Kirby look head coaching material to you?
No.
Did you see the first game of the year he's out on?
No.
Head coaches don't act like that.
And he's got a get back guy who's holding his belt. What is that, an act? That's an act. That's like Vince Dula coming out in a shirt and tie and short sleeve. You know what I mean? That's what they do.
Look like an accountant.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. The greatest college football career, and actually because I don't go back, obviously, to the 40s and 30s and stuff, because it was great guys. The greatest college football career ever turned in was Herschel Walker's. Herschel Walker put that program on his back. Vince Dooley didn't know what to do when he got there. He didn't know if he was going to be a linebacker. He didn't start against Tennessee.
Sure didn't.
He didn't know what he had. I'll tell you what. They gave the ball to Herschel one time. He ran over Bill Bates from Tennessee.
Yep.
And that team put on the BVDs. They were beyond Vince Dooley. And Vince was along for the ride. Now you go over there the statues of Vince Dooley.
Right.
Statues of Vince Dooley, who gave us nothing for 24 years.
Yeah, he got 24 years out of Herschel.
24 years.
Out of Herschel Walker.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, he did. You're right.
You know,
out of Herschel Walker.
And that's how we get a Kirby. When you've got that type of mentality at that school or that town or this state or our town, which I always include Athens as being our town anyway. What are we thinking? We don't think like competitors. We don't think like we want to go for it.
Right.
We think it's kind of like Bobby Cox and the Braves. Let's put out a nice team. Mm-hmm. Let's let the boys make sure they're dressed right. Let's make sure that the boys aren't playing radio in the clubhouse. Let's make sure that everybody runs everything out and then do whatever the hell you want. You know, don't run a game. Don't do it. You know, this guy failed 14 times. He was, 13 times. He was 1-14, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And that bozo wearing a bow tie, his general manager, like a balloon salesman, he was just put in yesterday. For what? I want to know why. That team was set when he got there in 91.
Yep.
The guys that should be in the Hall of Fame are Paul Snyder and Roy Clark, the scouts and director of scouting personnel for the Braves.
Right.
They stocked that thing.
That farm system, yeah.
And then he came in and didn't sign anybody. And this is the guy that when we won a World Series finally, this is the MVP of the World Series, this guy trades him within 3 months because David Justice spoke to the media.
Exactly.
And the media liked David Justice.
He wasn't
a Braves puppet.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are also getting a history lesson.
Teach, Bo.
As I got the dean of sports, the legendary Bo Bock in the building. We finna move
What's
to
up,
the
Barty?
Heisman race.
Is there a race?
Good question.
They told five players, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Jabril Peppers, DeeDee Westbrook, and Deshaun Watson. Real quick, Tiffany, who should have been there and who shouldn't be there?
You know what? This wasn't the greatest college football season with a lot of standouts right. to begin with. So, you know what? I really don't have a problem with who they chose. I mean, Lamar Jackson has been putting on a show the entire season. Jabril Peppers has played seven different positions on Michigan's team.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, I mean, he come on now. He was already in the race last year, and he's led Clemson right back to the Final Four. I mean, Day-Day Westbrook and Baker Mayfield, I mean, they basically fed off each other the entire season, and Baker Mayfield helped Day-Day Westbrook become the best receiver in the game this season. So, I mean, I really don't have a problem with the list because, in all actuality, who did something much better than that?
Yeah, I don't even know why anybody else is going. If right. Lamar Jackson doesn't get it, it's ridiculous. It's like I said in the beginning when we talked about the Heisman and whatever words, it's a quarterback award. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, especially now with the spreads. Quarterbacks run more. They throw more. They have the ball in their hands. I mean, it would have to be a phenomenal year for a running back to win it. I don't. A wide receiver, to me, doesn't have a chance. And a defensive player, two-way player, he has to do right. astronomical things. Like Jabril has to do serious right. game-changing right. Heisman moment things almost right. every right. week.
And you don't get a chance.
And you don't get a chance. So, to me, Lamar Jackson should have been the only ticket to come. Everybody else just getting a free trick. And that's yeah. good. They're getting a chance nice. To go to New York. It's nice.
I was just sitting here like, you know, a wise guy and saying, you know what? If I was one of those guys, I'd tell them no thanks.
Nah, you know what I mean?
But, you know, you're talking about kids. Yeah. 20, 21, 22.
They're
going to
take a free trip.
Of course.
Yeah.
Going to the Big Apple. And yeah. you know.
So, Bo, your thoughts, Lamar Jackson runaway?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't even really look yeah. forward to watching that. If I pass it, I'll stop for a moment. You know, but
are we surprised that we talked about Fournette, Chubb, and all these running backs at the beginning of the season? Are we surprised?
I was thinking the other day that Leonard Fournette has to be the most famous, almost big-time player right. in college football. I mean, right. and I'm saying I think he's going to have a great pro career.
Mm-hmm.
But if you honestly look at him, he's almost like a comet. He burned out. Right. It was like,
yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
But there was, point. Yeah, I yeah. mean, and it's a shame because the injuries and whatever happened with having a quarterback
and coaching.
Change and coaching. Yeah, I mean, yeah. right. It was
and
a lot.
And that Ed Orgeron, come
yeah,
on.
It was
What's
a lot.
What's he doing? But another guy went behind a guy's back. I mean, that's a major sin. You know, for
yeah,
a guy to go. I mean, we see
back.
In business all the time. Happened to me with my radio station. I had two guys steal it from me behind my back.
Right, right.
Who I brought in.
Yeah. I remember that, but that's
all right, that's a story for another day.
Exactly. But now
that's a time when we do the judicial show.
Exactly. But for all y'all who don't know, you know, I get a lot of people hit me up on Facebook Live and say, "How did you pull a legend? Get a legend on your show?" Well, let me just say this: I was an intern at Bo's radio station on the weekend.
I remember you were doing it, man.
So you know it's. We'll get to get it off my chest, but my town got some clout.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Bo. I remember Bo coming to concerts and games at the arena and easy walk up to him, talk to him, speak to him. Bo say, "Come on up." Bo, you gave me Matt Egger number.
Right. Right. Oh, it
say,
I remember that.
You say
yeah,
call right. you say call
this,
him.
Right.
I called Matt Egger every single day for 2 months until he answered my call.
Nice.
2 months.
Yeah.
And I called every day as if I never called before.
Well, you should have called me back. I would have smacked him. What are you doing? Answer the phone.
But it built up perseverance.
Right. Sure.
Built it up.
Right, right.
Because guess what? Look where we are now.
Yeah, we hit up.
That thing, you know, that's
look where
that's,
we are now.
You know, that's what kids don't learn today.
Exactly.
They're not learning persistence. they don't know that really if something's going on in your head, it's not going on in everybody's head. I mean, you really, if you think I'm good at this, it's something that you do well.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you think the next guy's good at that, the next guy's good, or somebody knows that, somebody else. No, they don't. It's peculiar to you. You are in charge of that is who you are.
Right. Exactly.
And pursue that and go after that. And it is possible. It is possible. But we don't learn perseverance. We just, you didn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They just gave up on the first try. So
the Atlanta sports knows futility. Though.
Like if you want to go, if you want to go work for Arthur Blank, you go up to his office dressed like a wrench, and he'll talk to you. You don't got to do. You got to go out. You know, you can't just call
something
him.
You can relate to.
You got to go dressed as a hammer or something. Exactly.
All right, man. That's it for the roundtable discussion. Sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new, used, or pre-owned car, please contact my friend at jaysusedcars.com. Call him up, 770-496-0339. Mention SRT Sports Roundtable. Get a 10% discount on your down payment. Thanks for the first hour of the show. We got to get to this sports update, and we got to get to a commercial, man, because the engineer Z-Bunny is saying it's time to get to it. Stay tuned. Keep it locked. Sports updates coming up next. And we're looking for a great second hour of the show. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your sports update with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. Shaquille O'Neal retired from the NBA in 2011. He played for six teams throughout his 19-year career and was inducted this year into the Hall of Fame. Now, the Miami Heat are going to retire his jersey in a game against the Lakers on December 22nd. He was a part of the Heat from 2004 through 2008 and won a championship with them in 2006. Speaking of jersey retirement, Derek Jeter was a member of the New York Yankees his entire 20-year season with the MLB on May 14th, 2017, which happens to be Mother's Day. The Yankees will retire his number 2 jersey. He retired from the team in 2014, and he will also get a plaque in Monument Park unveiled that day as well. Stanford's Christian McCaffrey has declared for the 2017 NFL Draft. So has Leonard Fournette and Malik McDowell from Michigan State. Jay Cutler of the Chicago Bears had shoulder surgery, and don't be surprised if you never see him suit up for the Bears again. They are talking about letting him go.
Yeah, he needs to.
Yeah. Speaking of NFL, Jeff Fisher, yeah, we all knew he had a contract extension coming. He got a 2-year one, and he actually is
for
also.
What?
Exactly.
He's for what?
Bo, he's actually in the process of claiming the NFL record for most losses. So, yeah, go figure. The two most dominant daily fantasy sports websites have announced that they will merge. DraftKings co-founder Jason Robinson will become the CEO and new company of the new company, and FanDuel CEO Nigel Eccles will serve as chairman of the board. The merger should close next year, so FanDuel and DraftKings will merge together, and collectively they have a combined 5 million users. That is a small fraction compared to the 57.4 million on Yahoo and ESPN combined. Zeke and Dak, the Cowboys youngins, they have led everyone in Pro Bowl voting over the NFL, all of NFL players combined, basically. They are the only ones that have gotten over 600,000 votes. So shout out to them. And you know what? That's a wrap on your sports update with the Jewel of Sports. Catch us every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on WWE AM 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on WWE 1100 AM.
You are listening to AM 1100, Atlanta's Sports and Entertainment Radio Network, a service of Beasley Broadcast Group. Take us with you wherever you go. Download TuneIn or iHeartRadio on your mobile device. WWE Hapeville.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-961-3408. 800-961-3408. 800-961-3408. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish. 800-961-3408.
Experience entertainment unlike any other on the Strip at the Foundry inside SLS Las Vegas. The intimate live music venue features talent of the highest caliber. Upcoming acts visiting the Foundry include the first ever residency with comedic icons John Lovitz and Dana Carvey, kicking off January 6th and 7th. To purchase tickets, visit foundrylv.com.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
WWWE 1100 AM.
Experience the difference.
Hey, H.O.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right? That
and
right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building. H.O. and
what
Coach,
up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Let go.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stalling. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Oh.
SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. SRT crew is in the building with the legend, Bo Bach. I'm talking about we getting the history lesson and talking sports in the same at the same time.
Man, I'm learning a lot tonight.
You yeah. embarrass everybody. Embarrasses me.
Yeah. Don't be embarrassed.
You know, they got me right where they want me. They got me off the air. I mean, seriously, Rich McKay, you know, everybody, why do you need a loudmouth in this town? And the guy's saying what's really going on. And what's
right.
They get you. It's like that cronyism thing I'm talking about.
They got you. I agree. All right, man. It's off the chain here tonight. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour. The question of the day. What's the issue with the Hawks? You want to get something off your chest? Give us a call, 404-603-8770. But right now, we got to jump into this FanDuel report. It's playoff time. My FanDuel report by my main man, Hancock.
How's your fantasy team doing? Terrible? We'll let the sports superhero help you out with the FanDuel report.
What's up, my FanDuelers? Look, we're going to start and jump right into this thing. The value player of the week from this past week was Tyler Lockett, wide receiver with the Seattle Seahawks. Lockett cost you $5,000 and got you 22.3 points this week, so he was a big-time value play. The perfect lineup for last week was Joe Flacco from the Baltimore Ravens. Flacco got you 30 points last week. David Johnson was the top running back last week with 34 points. Jordan Howard got you 29 points. Golden Tate had a showing this week for Detroit, came in with 24.5 points. Tyler Lockett, I mentioned him before, he did get you 23 points as number two receiver. Jordy Nelson came in with 21.8 points.
Man.
And
yes.
Looks like that Green Bay might be flexing their muscles again, so you might want to keep an eye on old Jordy. Dennis Pitter having a comeback off of what people thought might be career-ending injury got 23 points and he and Flacco together have Baltimore looking like they might be challenging for that AFC North. So yeah. he's yeah. looking good. Matt Prather was the kicker with 18 points, and the Denver Broncos defense got you 17. Last week, I gave you some players to look out for. I didn't do too well, but some of them were cool. Phillip Rivers got you 16.8. I said watch out for him. Drew Brees had a very subpar performance, only got you 10 points. Colin Kaepernick was a dud. I thought he was going to step up against the Chicago Bears, but he left his game in San Francisco. Not his heart, Bo, but he left his game in San Francisco.
No. Dwight borrowed his heart.
Exactly. Exactly. Tyreek Hill didn't do too well. Only 9 points. That was one of his subpar performances. Jordan Howard, I did give you. Got you the 29 that I mentioned before. Spencer Ware got you 18.7. And let's see, Malcolm Mitchell, wide receiver from Georgia. I said, watch out for him. Brady was going to have targets to throw to. So Mitchell might be a little sleeper that you might want to keep your eye on.
Especially since Gronk got out.
Gronk is out, exactly. This week, sleepers to watch. What are we going to even talk about? Well, one sleeper was Matt Asiata. I think look for him around the goal line. I'm looking for him to have breakout, maybe two or three touchdowns this week in the red zone. So look for him down there. Shady McCoy, look for him to have a good game this week. David Johnson is a guy you got to put in your lineup every week for Arizona. This guy might be the best player, unknown player in the NFL. He is a beast. Aaron Rodgers heating up, I told you. Matt Ryan is playing against the Rams this week. Rams, if they have anything, defense might be their calling card. Julio's a little banged up, so I'm a little skeptical. We're going with Ryan this week, but we've seen some other players step up. The little wide receiver, Kevin was named.
Taylor Gabriel.
Gabriel has stepped up big time. Now, with him maybe being more of a focal point and not having Julio, if Julio can't go, might kind of limit his production, but still might want to keep an eye on Taylor Gabriel. Golden Tate is stepping up this week against my Cowboys. Honestly, Odell Beckham will be a good player. Cowboys rank in the bottom against the pass in the NFL, and Odell's looking for a big game, I'm sure. This will be a big game Sunday night. It will be the only game on that night. So look, you know how Odell likes to shine on the big stage. So look for Odell Beckham Jr. Stephon Diggs with the Vikings might be a good play. And Julian Edelman for sure, because of, like we said before mentioned, with Gronk being injured and out,
right,
Brady will have to have targets and look for Edelman to be used out of slot a lot. So those are the players you might want to keep an eye on, look for next week. Tune in next week. Hopefully I'll help you out this week and show me how you did.
You know what? I wonder if we have the gumption, and this is stupid actually to say, it just popped in my head when you talk about the National Football League, because anybody can beat anybody. You don't take anything for granted. But almost treat it like a bye week and get Julio. I mean, we don't need Julio to beat the Rams.
Get him.
I'm saying like an idiot, right? but you know what I mean. And because we're going to need Julio if we are going to make a run,
he's got to be healthy.
So give him a week off.
Well, you got to think about Sanu. Definitely may not play.
Yeah,
more than Julio.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sanu doesn't play, that moves Gabriel to the number two spot.
Well, you're playing against a rookie quarterback in the Rams, so you should be able to limit what they do offensively.
Or just run the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You should be able to limit them offensively to keep you in the game.
Right.
It's not like you're going out there and fearing their offense.
Right.
So you might be – I agree with you, Bo. If you need to give Julio a week off, give it to him.
It's kind of rolling the dice. But, hey, roll the dice because we're not going anywhere without him.
Right.
But, use this as a bye week. Let's get him healthy for the run.
I agree.
What about being a decoy and just kind of running the ball or whatever? Because I think
we're talking turf toe. It's no such thing. Nah. That thing needs rest.
Yes, it does. He can't play with that.
No. Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. He hurt himself putting his pants on with that.
Hey, let's get to a quick email back question before DW call in. I actually got one for Tiffany.
What up?
Yeah. Somebody sent an email. Who is the quarterback you root for now since Peyton is retired?
Good question. And I've been stuck. Like, seriously, I am one torn football fan right now.
I would have said Andrew Luck. That's just me. I would have said that. I mean, when I got the email, if I had to answer that for like, you.
That's what I'm saying. If I have to answer the question, it's him. Because, I mean, I was a Peyton Manning girl when he was at Tennessee. Right. So as soon as he got drafted by the Colts, I was a Colts fan. I mean, I got Colts gear for days. I got blankets, chairs, I mean, everything. So as soon as they let him go and the Broncos picked him up, I bought a bunch of Broncos gear.
Right.
So now I was just like, okay, yeah, I like the Broncos and all, but I mean, I always have been a Colts fan, and I'm a quarterback person.
Right.
So if I have to choose one, I'm going to have to go back and ride with Andrew Luck because the Broncos sure as heck don't have a quarterback.
Well, he didn't look bad the other night.
Yeah, he looked good.
Jules, what do you think of Ryan? To be honest, You know, we're doing – it's the only – think about this, all right? The other two stations are on. Okay,
yeah.
But we're the only sports talk show. So say what you think
about Matt Ryan?
Yeah,
I mean, right now I think the wheels are falling off of him.
You think?
A little bit, because I mean, he's making the mistakes that he's making costly mistakes that he can't make when they get to the playoffs.
Well,
because they're
no,
gonna,
of course,
if he gets to the playoffs and he's playing like he's playing right now, they're going to be one and done.
Yeah, well, especially if he made that throw like he did last
and
week.
And that's why I say the wheels are coming off, because he should be getting better right now, and I feel that he's
definitely
regressing.
I wouldn't say that, but this is what I was talking about Dan Quinn earlier, is why didn't he, you know, just remind him that, you know, the other thing was that you can't throw it into the corner like that. The other thing is, Berry made a great play. He jumped around.
Oh, my God.
He had the outside. He had the inside. He had the outside guy. Knew the boundary was protecting him outside.
That's when you say he checked his corner.
But I told
him.
He jumped.
He left his guy.
Right. He did.
Jumped around.
He played that.
99
and you know
yards.
Another thing that I think was key, and what I told Harris was, it wasn't Julio. Because if that's Julio, he takes another beat to make sure his corner doesn't need him.
Right.
But that knowing, okay, I got him and he has the boundary. Right. Let me look inside and he saw the crossing pattern. But if that's Julio Jones out there, he's a little less, aware to say, leave that man.
Right.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. That injury to Julio, and Bear made a heck of a play. Don't get me wrong.
No,
I think it was a heck of a play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I know if that's Julio Jones, and I don't think the Falcons throw the fade enough.
No.
Yeah.
No. Julio.
But if you would have that threat with Julio.
Exactly.
So I think that would make him have to stay that beat.
Right.
That he wouldn't be able to just jump it.
Right.
Even if he got there, maybe he knocks it down.
We throw the slant like Butler stole the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking Falcon football, we have somebody on the phone who can definitely tell us what's going on with the Falcons and things of that nature. So on the SRT hotline, we have our main man, DW, from the Falcoholic.
Freeman in the backfield on first and goal. Freeman with the football to the end zone. Touchdown.
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
D-Dub on the SRT hotline. What's going on?
How are you guys doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. Look, we got a legend in the building tonight. Hope you've been tuning in. Bo Bach is just giving us history lesson,
sir,
and talking sports. And all of that good stuff. Let's go ahead and get it started. Your takeaway from Sunday's game.
Do I have to? you know, I think a lot of people looked over the Chiefs, and they're one of the top teams in the league for a reason. They've got a good defense. They've got a really good pass rush. They've got, you know, arguably one of the best safeties in the league, and Eric Berry, as we all saw multiple times on Sunday.
Right.
You know, if you're going to lose a game like that, at least it's to a quality opponent. It doesn't take the sting off of it. You know, the interceptions hurt, and the absolutely strange manner in which we lost, you know, by one point on a pick two. I don't think you would have ever predicted that in 100 years of watching football. So, just a very odd game. It's not something you can take a lot away from, honestly.
It's
time to move on.
That's what makes it so disappointing. It would have been such a great win. It would have been a significant win.
Yeah.
Really?
How how hurt is Matthews?
Well, he hasn't been practicing.
Uh-oh.
And the initial word right now is I would think it's looking doubtful. The bad news is his backup, Tom Compton, did not was limited in practice as well with a knee injury himself. So the hope is that Compton will be able to be out there and fill in at left tackle. But if I had to put money on it, I would bet that Jake is probably not going to play this Sunday.
What about Sanu or Julio?
Dan Quinn did say today both guys did not practice. Surprisingly, he said Julio is probably closer to practicing. They think that he'll be out at practice on Thursday. Sanu is actually the one that is more banged up right now. And I know we heard the words turf toe where Julio was concerned, but they actually think Julio has a better shot of playing in the game Sunday than Sanu does. So I think if you're going to put money on this, you'll probably see 11 out there. But it looks like Sanu will be a complete toss-up.
So that moves Gabriel to the number two spot. Is that correct?
They did. Yep. Dan Quinn confirmed that today. Gabriel will take over at wide receiver two if Sanu is not able to go.
Do we just need to run the ball more Sunday just to kind of give the line and the receivers a break?
I think so. If you look at the Rams this year, their defense ranks ninth against the pass. They actually rank 20th against the run. If you look at Tom Compton, if he is playing at left tackle, he's not very good in pass protection, but he's actually a fairly good run blocker. So I think if the Falcons are going to have offensive success this Sunday, they really need to get back to a balanced attack and put that ball in Devontae's hands and Tevin's hands for a good bit of the game.
All right, on the SRT hotline, we got DW.
Hey, DW, Sports Superhero here. Look, those two-point conversion plays, are there certain areas of the field where we should just get Julio manned up and say, look, man, beat your guy. Let's throw some fades. Try something like that if it's incomplete or if there's anything that doesn't happen right, the ball is out of the back of the end zone or something like that where you don't put yourself in a position where you lose 2 points in the way we lost this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you look at Julio's red zone targets this year, he's only got 6, and we actually had to double-check that this week because we just couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And, you know, with a receiver that good, you would think he would be getting more looks in the red zone. And I agree. I think when you're looking at a two-point conversion in a critical game situation, the one thing you can't afford to do is to turn the ball over. So if you're going to make a mistake, throw it, you know, out of the back of the end zone. Don't risk the ball coming back. And I do think, you know, if we're looking back, the play call they chose was a little bit questionable there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes when we look at, we try to be too sophisticated in some things. You know, I think a veteran coach this week against the Rams would say, hey guys, we're on the road. Let's take that crowd out of it. Not that their crowd is vocal or anything, but this is what you tell your team. Let's run it down their throat. We used to do that. You know, just come out on the road, dominate the game at the line of scrimmage, run it, run William, you know, and just take it out of them. And I don't think that's the point that we're at yet where we get that type of less than sophisticated coaching, but more of a gut feel.
Yeah, I think if you're – I absolutely agree. You've got to take the crowd out of it when you're on the road. And you know, the Falcons have two very good running backs. There's no reason they shouldn't be feeding these guys more, especially when you're going up against a defense that struggles against the run. And when, honestly, your left tackle struggles in pass protection, establishing the run and pounding it down their throats is a great way to protect your quarterback. It opens up the play action. It opens up the middle of the field. I think it's a simple plan, but sometimes the simplest plans are the best plans.
Right, and that's what I think, again, about that also shortens the football game. And with you going out there playing an offense that's limited, rookie quarterback, they haven't shown any signs of being, you know, prolific in any way. Like Bo said, get ahead of them probably is probably the plan, and just make them play from behind it. Put that quarterback in some situations that he's not comfortable in. Don't you think that should be the game plan to make kind of put the game in hit on his shoulders, because they won't be able to run if they're behind. They'll have to throw.
Yeah, absolutely. I think where our defense is concerned, you know, the reality is right now the Falcons' defense is just bad. and the best way to protect yourself from a bad defense is to keep them off the field. And if you can extend drives, you know, and the Falcons' offense has been very good at scoring points quickly. Well, in some ways, we need them to slow down a little bit. We need them to, you know, turn those 3-minute drives into 6-minute drives and burn some of that clock. Keep our defense off the field, keep them fresh. And I do think that is ultimately the way we need to handle this, especially with, you know, guys like Julio and Sanu being banged up. Lean on your running game a little bit more and give your, you know, give your defense a rest, keep them off the field, let your receivers get a little bit healthier, and hope you can make a push to the postseason.
On the SRT hotline, we got DW of the Falconholic.
Hey, DW, it's the Jewel of Sports. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. You just mentioned about the defense, and that was my question. That's my question. They basically can't stop a runny nose right now. So do you see them, like, do you see them kind of making any kind of adjustments when they do make it to the playoffs? Like, how do you see them being able, because they basically blow a lot of leads. So how do you see them making any kind of adjustments to become better and get some stops? Because they hurt them a lot.
Right now, I think the reality is we're beginning to miss some key people. You know, when you lose a cornerback, the quality of Desmond Trufant, and Jalen Collins has done okay in his place, but, you know, Trufant is a Pro Bowl caliber player. He can shut down the number one receiver. He's, you know, you miss a guy like that, and then you begin to miss a guy like a Derek Shelby, who we lost earlier this year, who is, you know, pretty good at, against the run. And then Adrian Claiborne, you know, who is probably our more consistent pass rusher on the line. I think those injuries are starting to add up. As for, you know, what we can do for this defense to get better, I don't know that it will. You know, we've got, you know, 3 or 4 rookies playing on defense, and I think at some point the rookie wall is a real thing. It hits. These guys get exhausted. They're not used to a 16-game season. I think the best thing you can do is try to rotate the veterans in, and like I said, just try to keep them off the field as much as possible. Use that potent offense to burn up the clock. Use it to run the ball down the throats of our next few opponents, and you know, give these young guys a little bit of a break. They don't need to be, you know, playing 32, 33 minutes a game on defense.
I agree. All right, DW, my last question is, how we talked about Dan Quinn, his aggressive style and his aggressiveness over the last few games. In your opinion, does he need to start to feel the pressure or take some heat for some of these losses?
I think so, and I think he does. I don't think Dan Quinn's going to stop being aggressive, and I like that about him. You know, in comparison to some of the other coaches Falcons have had in the past, who were maybe a little bit too conservative, I think he's on the other end of the spectrum. He's, you know, he trusts his offense to get those yards, and it's sort of a catch-22. If we convert that fourth down conversion, everyone's talking about how great a call it was, right?
Right.
And we're looking back now, and we're saying, you should have taken the field goal. So some of that is hindsight. I like the fact that he's aggressive, but I do think he has to be more selective about when he's aggressive in his game plan. So I do think he'll learn from this. I think he absolutely made some critical choices in this game that I think contributed to the loss. I do think, you know, Dan Quinn is not an arrogant coach, and I think that helps when you're talking about a coach who's going to learn from his mistakes. So it's easy to forget, you know, he's only in his second year as a true head coach. He's a young guy. He's not even, you know, he's still in his 40s. So I think he's got a lot to learn. But the good news is he's got the temperament to do it.
Gotcha. All right. Your prediction from Sunday. I hope it's a good one.
Well, I predicted a close game for the Chiefs on the site, and I was unfortunately right, just on the wrong end of that one. So, you know, you look at the Rams, don't underestimate them. They've got a lot of talent on defense. You know, Aaron Donald is easily the best defensive tackle in the league. He may be one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL, to be frank. Robert Quinn is a fantastic pass rusher. They've got some, you know, quality players on the back end. But that offense is dreadful, and I think that's going to be the key to this game. I think the Falcons' offense will not be as dynamic as it has been, so I think the scoring will be under 30. Ultimately, I think the Falcons do win this one. They're just a much better team than the Rams, but I think it's going to be a score of something like 24-14.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for calling in, and let all of our listeners know where they can find you on Twitter and where they can read your articles.
You can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. As well, you can find our articles at www.thefalcoholic.com. And as always, tune in to our Falcoholic podcast, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play Store, and Stitcher. It lands every Wednesday.
There you go. DW, thanks again. Let's get up. Let's rise up and get that Falcon win. And thanks again, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Rise up.
You know it, D-Dub.
Rise up, all D-Dub.
Right. D-Dub, Falconholic, saying that the Falcons go win this week. So I hope we run the ball, basically.
You know what? Can I just say something? We're talking about Dan Quinn being aggressive. And I like the calls, too. Like, I like that. You know, right. Spitty.
We're going to look at the explosive plays, bro.
We're going to look at the tape and make the adjustments. Right. Oh, all right, coach. And but is Dan Quinn aggressive? Because he's a defensive guy. And we don't play aggressive defense. And I can't imagine. I've always been a defensive player.
That's a good point.
And I played a read and react type of defense at Miami, which I hated. I hated holding up the offensive linemen and waiting to make them. You know what I mean? I want to play. I want to attack. To me, defense is attacking. Why let somebody dictate to you? When you have, and especially us now, with the speed we've added on the defensive side, when you think about Beasley and how well he might be utilized, when at the beginning of the year, because Beas had a spin move that you couldn't make in this room. You know what I mean? He needed a parking lot.
Yeah, he needed room.
And he has come on so strong, and I love, he's a great guy, and I love it. I love his quicks. I love his heart. But now with him. And you've got Deion Jones and Lavondre and Keanu. Wayne Tukiano gets his wits about him.
Yeah, I was mean, wrong about him.
He's taking some, right now he's taking some wrong angles.
Oh, yes.
That will come, because, you know, he's still taking college angles.
Right, right.
You know,
you're the better athlete, it doesn't matter, you can still make up for it.
It's an adjustment.
Not in the pros.
Right. So, I want to use the blitz, and it's like, was Tiffany saying, what adjustment are we going to make? Well, we can't make that adjustment, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Because you can't just... I just wish we were a blitzing team. Yeah. I wish we were creating...
Glanville.
I just were wishing we were creating havoc, nonsense, turnovers.
Exactly.
I don't like receiving as a defensive player.
Exactly. I agree. They actually rushed 3 on the third down, dropped 7, and they got a first down. But there was no one within 5 yards of the receiver. How does that happen?
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, man, we're about to jump into the water cooler report with the Jewel of Sports. So let's go see what she's talking about in the water cooler report.
I don't know about you, but I'm a bit parched. Let's see what they're talking about at the water cooler.
Welcome to the Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. We are sponsored by Blunt Power. Get the best car air fresheners around town with Blunt Power. 3 sprays last for days. Go to www.bluntpower.com for all of your flavors. That is such a tongue twister. Say flavors 3 times real fast.
I couldn't even say Sports Superhero.
I mean, that mess is crazy.
Chocolate.
Shout out to Blunt Power. That's a twister.
Exactly.
Okay, y'all know I like to spend my time at the water cooler. So today we were talking about NFL players and their water cooler talk. Because, our water cooler talk, we're in the break room. And, their water cooler is actually like training rooms and like medical rooms and stuff like that, and the massage tables. So their water cooler are their dimly lit rooms. They basically applaud the guys who are able to stay healthy. Mondays are spent by NFLers basically putting themselves back together. Allen Robinson, a wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, said that this late into the season, every NFL player is injured, and that is only about a matter of what degree. And that at this point, all of the rooms become traffic jams because there's a wait for treatment. So Mondays for NFL players are for hot tubs, cold tubs, pool work, stretching, sore limbs, doing yoga, correcting postural alignment, building core strength, team meetings, family time, and relaxations. Players like to call Mondays get right days. Basically, on Mondays, players also add up all of their bruises and see which ones are worse. Wow. At this point in the season, many guys say their bodies feel like a train wreck and they are just getting used to living in pain.
Mm.
Yeah. Major League Baseball, water cooler talk. Last week, I told you about them reaching a new labor agreement late Wednesday evening. And part of that agreement is that a new smokeless tobacco ban is basically in place for all new Major League Baseball players. 12 Major League cities have already basically had prohibitions on tobacco use at their baseball parks by all players and team personnel. In the future, they want baseball to be completely tobacco free. You will be fined if you are caught dipping, that's what they call it, and the fine raises depending on the number of offenses that you have. If you visit San Francisco's AT&T Park, there will be candy jars on two shelves with a dozen or so options, providing alternative options for players who typically chew tobacco or just a sugar rush for anybody else.
So what are they giving you? Cavities?
Basically. They're hoping up the
you
benefits.
You can't dip, but here's a cavity.
They're filling their mouths with cavities because, they're just basically loading them with candy. Yeah, so that's pretty good. So, no more dipping soon
it's
in baseball.
It's Halloween in baseball.
It is. Trick or treat.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And our last water cooler chit chat, we're talking about the NBA, and they are basically getting ready to make some decisions on their collective bargaining agreement. And decision on that should come between now and December 15th. Some details are leaking out about what could possibly go down when the new agreement is announced. One of those is league sources are saying that there is a strong likelihood that the start of the 2017-18 season will be moved up a week, basically to 10 days, which is yet another measure aimed at reducing the number of back-to-backs teams over the course of the 82 games. Because right now, teams are scheduled to play 16.3 back-to-back games in a season. That's actually down from last season, which it was at 17.8. They are also saying that there's a real chance that the forthcoming year, the labor deal will enable teams to sign their first-round draft picks to extensions after the second year of their rookie deals. Right now, they are eligible after year three. If this happens this season, the Knicks star Kristaps Porzingis and Wolves Karl-Anthony Towns, they'll get some fat extensions after this season.
Wow.
So that'd be pretty interesting I would actually want to see those two rules come into effect.
Yes, I would too.
I know the people that be would like to be too, so they won't have to worry about losing.
Yep, I agree.
But you know what? That's a wrap on your Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. This Water Cooler Report is sponsored by Blunt Power. Get the best car air fresheners around town with Blunt Power. Three sprays last for days. Go to www.bluntpower.com for all of your favorite flavors.
Appreciate that, Jewel. Let's talk Hawks.
Why don't we? Losing.
How do we fix the Hawks?
I don't think we can right now. It's going to take a while. I thought Dwight was a great acquisition. He's the most disappointing player in the league. I mean, every time he misses a chippy or a putback, he'll stop, turn around, look at the referee. Come on!
Yeah, biggest crybaby in the game.
Yeah, I mean, show somebody. Show your teammates, man. Yeah. Leave the, do whatever you have to do, but just don't be a big prima donna. Making all the money.
He can't help it now.
I mean,
that's him. He can't help it.
I think
it's
built in now.
It is. He can't get rid of it. It's like it's an automatic reaction.
Right.
If he does something bad, he's automatically throwing a tantrum like a 2-year-old.
And he said at the beginning of the year that they were going to just play through stuff like that. I can remember
him.
He did say that.
He's just going to play through it, but he can't do it.
No, that's like Tiffany was saying. It's ingrained now.
This was my whole fear when we didn't tear it down. And Harris and I went back and forth with, whether you just start over, go ahead and you actually lost Teague and Horford for nothing.
to me.
Basically,
you know what? I would have given away Teague for a bag of lollipops.
But I would have.
That may be right. But what I'm saying is, you didn't get anything back for either one of them.
Right.
So whether that was draft picks, whether that was young talent, right. athletic talent, right. you should have done something.
Right.
Very
and
much
that
so.
Was my problem with trying to make sure that you were still competitive.
Right.
And I just don't think in this day and time, either you tear it all down or you bring in a big-time free agent.
Right.
You can't get a big-time free agent here.
No.
It's just right. known. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, they you know go. Why? Every guy wants to play here, but nobody wants to play for this team.
This team. Right. Exactly.
That's what all that those years mm-hmm. of being fooled with that, whatever the hell his name was, that Ted gave the, said watch over. What's his name? Him and the kid? They have done more to hurt basketball in this city than anybody who ever lived.
Well, the GMs have definitely.
Keaton, Heaton, what's their names?
You're talking Geerin, about the
Mike Geerin. Mike Geerin.
Yeah.
Mike
Geerin.
Yeah. His son, Mike Geerin Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of vegetables.
Right.
A couple of vegetables.
And you couldn't tell him anything.
Right.
Not at all.
Especially the kid.
And I just, like I said, I just think it's two ways to build a product. And you either have to lose, get draft picks, or you get free agency.
Yeah, but you
can't do it.
Atlanta, though.
Yeah, I know.
They would have to basically rebuild their team from draft picks.
We're middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
Yeah,
exactly.
We might as well be Six Flags.
And that's
everybody's making a lot of money. That's the Braves done Schuhholz for years and years and years. Hey, we don't want to change managers. People love Bobby. Bobby can't manage his way out of a paper bag, but we're just entertainers.
Right. Right.
We don't go for it in our town.
No.
I mean, look at Georgia bringing in that. Who in his right mind could have possibly thought this guy could lead us to national contention? Who?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then you look at Pete Babcock. Then you look at Billy Knight.
Yeah.
And then the only GM that actually did something, you got rid of him over this.
Yeah.
Those emails. Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Over that. I mean, you just know.
You know what? If Ferry's not a good guy, I know he's a pain in the neck. More than that.
Well, he's a dookie.
He represents
don't
everything.
Don't get horse started over here.
He represents everything you don't like about Dookie. You know what I mean? But, he knew the game.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the game.
Yeah.
And we get rid of him.
Because his dad was big time in Washington, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Was that racial, what he did? I mean, to me, I'm looking at it saying, supposedly the phrase was, he's got a little African in him. Mm-hmm. Meaning, there's been some players that, from Africa who have not, was that racial? I mean, do you, in the community, do you look at it that way?
I think it was derogatory.
Wait a minute. And we all talk, right? And we all talk amongst ourselves. Now, they're in a Hawks
meeting.
Committee room. You think you're talking to
like-minded
people, even, your African-American assistants and that type of thing. You would say, from an athletic point of view, got a little African in him.
Yeah. Well, he just waited. He did it too early.
He wouldn't look at it.
He did too early. He should have let Trump become president because Trump said anything. everything been on the table. It would have been fine.
He should have waited until Trump became president and said everything. Would have been
awesome. If he'd have followed Trump, he'd still been a GM. Right.
It was
nobody would have said nothing.
It was
but does that strike you as African American communities that strike you as racial? I come from New York. All right, I'm Irish Catholic. Come from New York City. We're all neighborhoods, right? And the thing about your neighborhood is you've got your friends. And if anybody comes from another neighborhood, even if that guy's not your friend, you kick the pea turkey crap out of him because he's going against one of your guys.
Right.
That's what hurt me with those guys in the radio station. But, as far as being an African-American and hearing a Dan Ferry saying that in a closed meeting, he's got a little African in him, which got a different connotation entirely in terms of athletics and competition. Was that offensive to you at the time? Or do you take it as just, there's another one of those guys just...
Yeah, I just sweep it and take it, and because
that's where I'm at with it.
You know
what I should say is, were you disappointed when they fired him?
I was.
He was, for sure.
Yeah. I was definitely disappointed because I thought we had turned. I thought the city made the decision.
Right.
The area, or right. We not going to come to the game because you bringing him back and yada, yada, yada. Right. But we winning.
Right.
Why is it even that a big deal? Why, right. Matter of fact, why did it even come out?
Right.
Only because
right.
There was already...
that idiot owner.
Exactly.
That
it was already owner. It was already distinction in between the ownership, and he was trying to get Danny Fair fired from the beginning.
And right. He's the guy that spilled it to the media.
That's my point.
Otherwise, it would have remained in the room.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't do
that. And
don't.
Can you imagine that group of owners? I mean, what a bunch of.
That was the worst thing. They had too many chefs in the kitchen.
You know what Nathan Deal should do, Kasim Reed? But Nathan Deal should appoint a commissioner of sports in this town.
Yeah.
How can you shut the Falcons practice off to the media?
They can listen
the
to
Hawks,
us.
And say, look, this is the way we're going to. If you're going to use the name Atlanta, then there are certain things that you're going to have to do. You just can't go off the plank mm-hmm. and use this yeah. as another subsidiary of your empire
right.
and
right.
just treat it like that. This is our team. I've got a Georgia driver's license. That's my team. I've been living in Atlanta. That's my team.
Hello.
That you have the obligation to me, and you have the joy to be able to run and own for me.
Exactly.
Don't do what you want to do. Do what's best for the sport. Cheap. Don't bring in a namby-pamby little daddy's money, rich kid who never had a job in his life, and Rich McKay to tell you what to do. I mean, this is my team.
It's crazy.
The Falcons have never been further away from the community than they have been for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And since really Arthur took over 15 years ago, we're just... Remember, Falcons used to be people had Falcon signs in the cars mm-hmm. and all
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
And there was stuff
think about
going.
That 91 team like when the Tomahawk Chopper had the city going crazy.
Man.
Listen, we going to talk about all of that. Well, at least I am. We're going to talk about that when we get back. We got to go to a quick sports update. But when we come back, we getting it off the chest. Trust me on that.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. New York Giants star defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul just had surgery this morning for a sports hernia, and he will miss the remainder of the season.
Oh.
Yeah, not good for them. NBA news for you. Happy birthday, Larry Bird, 60 years old. Shout out to him.
Legend.
Yeah. Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant have been named co-recipients of the 2016 USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year Award. They were also co-captains of the USA team this summer. KD also won this award in 2010. Some scores for you. That UConn-Notre Dame women's college game is over, and UConn won 72-61, and they are on a 83-game winning streak. That's just insane.
That's unreal.
Yeah. NBA scores for you. Denver and Brooklyn, that game has 51 seconds left in it, and Denver is losing to Brooklyn 111-105. Portland and Milwaukee, they have 10 minutes and 52 seconds left in the fourth quarter. That score is Milwaukee winning 85-76. The Lakers in Houston have 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and Houston is winning 99-73. New York and Cleveland, they are in the third quarter with 3 minutes left, and Cleveland is winning 83-57. I guess LeBron is going off about posse. Indiana and Phoenix, they are in the second quarter, and Phoenix is winning 30-29. It's halftime in Dallas, and Dallas is losing to Sacramento 52-56. Final scores, Boston beat Orlando 117-87. And we have Golden State and the Clippers playing at 10:30.
Gotta see it.
Yeah, and Detroit lost to Charlotte 87-77. And you know what? That's a wrap on your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. Catch us every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on WWE AM 1100.
Do you have something that you want to say? Well, then it's time to...
Say it with your chest!
All right, now, I don't even know who want to go first tonight. Because I got so.
There was a line for the men's room.
Is there a line for the men's room?
let me.
I'm not getting in that line.
Let me just start off by saying,
come on.
I have a
Caitlin. Come on,
Caitlin.
I have a message that I want to deliver.
Is this Christmassy? Do I need to put on my red hat? What do you need?
You might get some pom-pom. You might want to get some pom-pom and chill about this.
Right. I know where this is going, so let me just sit back.
I am Atlanta born and bred. Graded baby. I got the t-shirt to prove it. Bankhead raised, Buckhead education. But my message is to, well, let me get a disclaimer. For all the people that are in my circle, my co-hosts, Bo, T-Money, all my people that I love dearly, and all the people that love and respect me dearly, this is not for you. This is to all of the fake Atlanta Falcons fans that every Monday I have to hear about. You, Matt Ryan sucks. You need to do this. You need to do that. And you basically just Michael Vick fans that just stayed on board. That's it. Because where do you, as a fan base, not even fill up a dome when the game is at 425? How do you not fill the dome up? We only have true Atlanta fans when you can recognize the names Steve Barkowski, Junior Miller, Wallace Francis, Alfred Jenkins, Alfred Jackson,
William Andrews.
Even if you know Bo Bop, you true Atlanta. If you cannot name me a quarterback before Michael Vick, you are not true Atlanta. Period. Are you not? So, my message, every Monday comes, Matt Ryan throws a pick. Everyone waits. It took 12 games for you to have your shine. 12. And this is my message. The same people who root and say they're Falcons fans, but they really Michael Vick fans and Matt Ryan haters. You root for the team, not the person. This is my message. Those are the same people who come and say they love Atlanta, move to Atlanta, but complain about the weather when it's cold or it gets too icy. There is a highway that goes north and south, 78 and 85. There's another highway that goes east and west, that's 20. Just like Martin says, you don't have to go home, but I wish you get the hell up out of here.
I hear.
And I'm done.
Wow.
I've got a good Michael Vick story. And you are. That is frustrating. I mean, what's the organization supposed to do? And us as, you know, who are interested in the team when what happened to him happened to him. But Michael Vick, remember when he would miss with a pass? 90% of the time it was high.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he missed high all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he goes up to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia brought a chiropractor from down here up there, a guy by the name of Michael Hatrack. And he's up there off 400. Michael Hatrack is known throughout the country as being one of the premier chiropractors in the country, right? Athletic chiropractors. He and the Eagles would bring him up there every week. Of course, we didn't believe in chiropractic. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So he goes up there, and Michael Hatrack goes up there, and Michael Vick's one leg is 2 inches shorter than the other.
I heard that.
So, you know, what happens is, I'm going to stand up here. You know, Mike, I'm going to be a mirror because he's a lefty. All right, so his plant foot would be his left foot. It's my plant foot now. When you're shorter, your release is up. And he was doing the same thing in Philadelphia. They brought him back here, evened out his legs. And that's when Michael had his best years, throwing the ball.
That's crazy.
Throwing the ball.
You can't get this nowhere else.
I mean, that's schooling. Bo. I mean, school is ball. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. All right, Tiffany, what you got to get off your chest? We running a little stuff.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I really don't have nothing too much to get off my chest.
I know you want to be thankful.
I am. I'm in a happy place. You know, nobody is frustrating me. Nobody's getting on my nerves. It's all love and favor in my life and happiness.
Yeah. Well,
and
you
joy.
Think you look good coming out like that?
Hey, I look great right now. I look great, feel great. Everything is going great.
I'm glad you think you're happy, but I'm telling you what.
I am living a carefree existence. Y'all need to learn how to live one, too. Happiness is a way of travel, not a destination. Remember that.
There you go. All right, Han, what you got?
Look, man, real quick. This college football thing has to get fixed. You know, when they go into a room and they come out and tell us what we are going to get, you know, and then there's no plan, there's no rhyme or reason to it. When they make up the rules as they go, then all this is subjective. We're still not getting a true playoff. What we're getting is, like I said before, the Electoral College of college football. Because it's not being decided in any way other than
what are we getting that's better? What we're getting? We're getting one more game.
That's it. One
just
more game.
Just one more game.
That's
because
all
you still got a
we're
championship.
Getting.
All we're getting is the semifinal.
That's right. It. Because they're telling us on one hand that this week this matters, next week something else matters to make their point. And then you base it on saying, well, this team beat more top 10 teams. Well, if you're picking the top 10 teams,
yeah,
hell, I can pick who I want to
exactly.
say they beat.
Exactly.
Because I can put in who the top 10 is week after week. It's a sham.
It is.
It's a farce.
Yeah.
It's bull.
It's cronyism.
It's what it is.
It's cronyism. That's how you get on the committee.
That's
the
it.
Only one who wasn't on the committee, that's Condoleezza Rice. Yeah. You give me Condoleezza Rice's opinion and don't give me Dan Radakovich's opinion and I'm going to win. I mean, he didn't know anything.
Right.
So I just think, you know, and then this thing about being too many games and the student-athletes. Look, it stopped being about student-athletes when they started paying money for all these games on Thursday
Absolutely.
And Tuesday and Wednesday. You don't care about whether these kids are
They're
in school
going
or not.
School.
They're playing football from some nights on Tuesday, college football on Tuesday nights.
Right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
Saturday.
So that's a farce. It's like I said, you're making an argument for whatever you're trying to prove at that time. So getting it off my chest, to me, college football really needs to clean itself up.
Yeah.
So what are you asking for? More teams? Bigger playoff?
Yeah. I think it should be an 18 playoff. I think every conference, but first of all, every conference should have either everybody has a conference championship game or nobody has it.
Right.
You have to level that playing field first.
And the winner
because
the
Big 12 doesn't even have a championship
game.
What are you going to do? You've got your top eight teams.
Right.
What are you going to do with Oklahoma State, who would beat the last four teams? Oklahoma State's ranked ninth this year.
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to. First thing you got to do, I think you get your five conference
discussion.
No, but the first thing is you get rules. Five conference champions. You got to win your conference championship to get in. That's five.
Exactly.
Then you have one group of five champion, whatever the highest ranked team is out of the group of five, and then your two at large beats.
Right.
Now, however you decide those two, then you come up with it. But you got your eight.
Right.
Yep.
There you go.
Good. That's nicely put, Han. That's exactly how they need to do it.
We're going to write it up, man, and have Sports Roundtable be a part of the committee or something. But listen. I want to thank Bo Bock for coming in, the Dean. Legendary.
Thanks for
coming
Appreciate
in.
It.
I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Hope so.
Thanks to the loyal listeners, Facebook Live, everywhere on Tiffany, phone mine, and Hancock. Thanks for the loyal listeners for always tuning in. Thanks to our sponsors, Blunt Power, Jay's Used Cars, and Smart Seal Security. And I also want to say last but not least, for my rant, when you come to my town, play by my rules.
Hey.
Hello.
I want to give a shout out to all the ladies that listen and support the SRT show. Shout out to all the loyal listeners. Shout out to all the Facebook Live listeners. I appreciate y'all rocking with me tonight. Shout out to my dad, Al Boyd. Thanks you for your support. Shout out to my fiance, Terrell. Love you. And shout out to my SRT crew. Shout out to Bo.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thank you.
There you go. All right, Han.
Shout out Facebook fam, T. Hancock. Love you, baby. Stanley Hood, Wolfpack, Brian Pollard, my man. Marty Terry McCuz, Eric Vinson, and Cosley Tojo Rogers, my folks.
Go.
Thanks for tuning in. Fam, I'll be home in a minute. Bo Bock. Thanks for coming in,
everybody out there. I appreciate you listening to me. I appreciate the guys having me on. And I'll tell you what, until we get this straightened out, until we get somebody in the media, until we get talking about it, it's not going to change. Until then, Oscar De La Renta, y'all.
You already know. Hey, listen, man, it's been a great show. Thanks for everything. Shout out, G-Money. I forgot to hit you with
CG.
Who you got?
Shout out to everybody who joined my Facebook Live. They listen to the show. And, yeah, that's it.
What about West Georgia?
And your mom and dad. What about your mom and dad? What about your mom and dad?
Well, they saw it on
Facebook
Live, too. So they're included.
Hey, once again, join us each and every Wednesday night, 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. And this is how we go.
Boogie!
I'm headed home, baby!
The jewel of sports is leaving the building.
Boom!
And this is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead, R.I.P. B.C., R.I.P. Mom. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
quit all that member pember stuff.
And we out. Peace.
See you.